Oh boy, it's Christmas Day. Wow, the house is covered in tinsel and mistletoe, red and green. Wow. Oh my gosh, that's so many presents. Mom, can I? Can I? Yay! Oh wow, it's a story. Santa Claus is Coming to Town by... Let's open another one. The same story. No. No. No! No!
Read it, and I may let you open a very special present indeed.
Okay. Okay. Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Bella Jing turned up her collar as the cold Los Angeles winter wind nipped at her neck like a toothsome chomp from jolly old Jack Frost. Her flea-bitten coat provided little protection from the swirling vortex of chill, but she couldn't afford another one. She'd been jobless for months, a fact her landlord and creditors wouldn't let her forget, no matter how much she begged and wept. Her tears were now her bathwater, since she could no longer afford to pay utilities. As she walked depressedly down the dirty city sidewalk, she passed by merry families and couples browsing the expensive boutique stores of Old Town Pasadena, their pockets swollen with digital dollars stored on their credit and debit cards. She felt her own pockets, flat as a day-old name-brand soda, and sighed. Her lack of funds were a problem. A problem she would soon resolve, for the holiday season provided a whole new category of employment, Santa Clausing. Due to the age and weight such a position normally required, a recent brand name pandemic had decimated the Santa for hire community. So there were Santa openings, even for a Mrs. Claus, such as herself. She'd seen a flyer during one of her daily visits to her temp agency. Hiring mall Santas. We'll take anyone. Even women. There was an address scrawled on the bottom in jolly red crayon and a time, Saturday, 10 p.m. It seemed too good to be true, especially once she reached the address for the interview, which was in an old warehouse in North Pasadena. A sign bolted to the rotten chain link fence read, "Keep out. Trespassers will be shot." Fortunately, some ragged tinsel and a withered mistletoe confirmed that Bella was indeed in the right place. So she squeezed through a gap in the rusty old gate. Yuletide warehouse light leaked out from an opening in one of the structure's ponderously huge doors. She stopped before the door and wondered if this really was a good idea. Entering a strange warehouse in North Pasadena in the vain hope of becoming a mall Santa? A seasonal gig at best? People had been killed for less. "Come on, Bella," she told herself in a whisper as quiet as virgin snowfall. "Be brave, like Nana." Nana had once spent 2 days lodged inside a sewer pipe with nothing but a dead cat for company. If that wasn't bravery, Bella didn't know what was. She knocked on the door. The shuffling of footsteps alerted her to the process of motion by which a figure would soon reach the great barn door and push it aside. She therefore wasn't surprised in the slightest when this very action took place, and a figure, cloaked in deepest shadow, addressed her with a simple yet effective, "Yes?" "I'm here," Bella said. She quickly added, "For the job! See?" And then held up the Santa flyer she had unceremoniously torn off the dusty bulletin board at the unemployment office. "Ah, yes," the voice said, masculine, deep, and frighteningly jolly. "Santa has seen. Santa knows." The door opened, its hinges shrieking like the souls of the damned, and Bella was stunned by the brilliance revealed within. Though it took only moments for her all-too-human eyes to adjust to the sudden illumination, to Bella, it felt as if she was blinded for an elf's age, and, When her eyes finally did adjust to the warehouse's luster, she gasped. She was no longer in an industrial park on the bad side of North Pass, but instead found herself in a winter wonderland. The warehouse's halls were decked with boughs of holly. The floors were coated in fake snow and red velvet. Glittering stars, bountiful sleighs, and plastic reindeer with blinking noses hung from the ceiling. Piles of wrapped gifts loomed throughout the warehouse like minuscule mountains. Young men and women dressed up as elves flitted between the piles, checking the gift wrap integrity and adding yet more presents to the jolly hulks. Bella's eyes brimmed with the most jolly of tears, pure distilled Christmas magic that dropped down her rosy cheeks like diamonds on a chandelier. "It's like a name brand soda ad," she whispered to herself. "It's what we all thought Christmas would be like as children." Her eyes were drawn to the middle of the room, where a tree of such immense size that it could fairly be called the Christmas tree towered over the proceedings like a dark god. There, at its top, sat a purple orb, which pulsed and thrummed with a dark light that made Bella feel somewhat queasy.
"Magical, isn't it?" a voice asked behind her.
Bella turned to see Santa Claus. Not the Santa Claus, she quickly corrected her brain thoughts, but a Santa Claus. Twinkle of eye, rosy of cheek, plump of girth, and full of beard, he peered at her from behind half-moon spectacles, a jolly, understanding, grandfatherly smile splitting his ruddy jowls. "Yes," Bella said, tearing her gaze away from the strange purple orb. "I was just whispering to myself that..." Santa cut her off with a lift of his jolly hand.
"I heard," Santa said warmly. "A Santa hears all, sees all. So it has always been, and always will be, until the day our Lord returns."
Bella blinked in confusion, her smile frozen on her plump lips. Their Lord? Was he talking about Jesus? Was this some kind of weird Scientology thing? She thought it best not to ask. "I'm here for the job," she said.
"The hallowed position of elf?" Santa asked.
"The mall Santa gig," Bella corrected. Then, unable to stop herself, she added, "I really need this. In fact, it's all I want for Christmas." Santa's eyes gently closed as his smile widened to an unearthly degree. He took a deep breath, the sort one might take upon achieving the summit of a mountain most high, and then exhaled longer than the sands of time before his eyes slowly opened once more, revealing his unrepentant twinkle.
"As it was foretold in the jolly old days," he shrieked.
The elves stopped their incessant scurrying and began to applaud and cheer, at least until Santa held up his hand and silenced them.
"Come," Santa uttered to Bella Jing. "I will take you to the others."
He led Bella through the maze of Christmas delights, past the jolly elves hanging up more and more tinsel, past the mountains of presents, the drifts of fake snow, through an indoor Christmas tree forest that had its own birds and tittering Christmas critters. Eventually, they arrived at an opening in the wilderness, where 11 mall Santas stood, resplendent in their holiday glory. Resplendent. It was a word Bella had never associated with mall Santas before. The words creepy, drunk, or on the run usually came to mind when she thought of the 9-to-5 old St. Nick lookalikes, but these Santas were the real deal. How would she fit in? They were so bearded, so portly, so rubicund of complexion. She was none of those things.
"Who approaches the Council of Santas?"
one of the Santas intoned jollily. The Santa who escorted Bella gave her a nudge. Bella said.
"I do? Bella Jing. I'm looking for a job."
The Santas faced one another, eyebrows raised and mustaches furrowed. They spoke thusly.
"A woman! She has come! Could it truly be? The Lord's time soon comes and the age of man draws short.
They continued. Whispered as they were, the Santa's words were difficult for Bella to parse out, though she did catch some odd phrases like prophecy, the Christmas king, and death's final defeat. Though an uneasiness rose in Bella's stomach, she pushed it back down. If being mistaken for the chosen one got her some much-needed funds, she'd play along. Finally, the largest and jolliest of the Santas, presumably their leader, clapped his mittened hands together and said,
"Silence now, my brothers! Bring the girl an outfit most jolly, and let us sit the Winter Queen on her Christmas throne!"
The Santas guffawed a mighty ho 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 and set about their business. A half dozen of the jolly old men swarmed around Bella, draping her in the raiments of the Yuletide office, red and white pants and coat, a red hat, and half-moon spectacles. They led her over to the Christmas throne and placed in her hands a wand of purest holly and a snow globe depicting a North Pole scene.
"Is this part of the interview process?"
Bella squawked as yet another Santa affixed a long white beard to her supple cheeks with a putty that smelled suspiciously like rubber cement.
"Hey, is this gonna come off?"
"Silence, you pest!" snarled one of the Santas.
Bella was taken aback and scanned their faces to see which of the merry men could have uttered such a cruel sentiment, but their visages were jolly masks. It was then that Bella began to feel something was off. The Santa's adjustments to her outfit, which at first had been as gentle as a babe's caress, were now rough and demanding, like a pack of hyenas scrapping for a meal. The Santas jerked Bella around atop the throne as they made sure everything was in place.
"Stop!" she said, then more forcefully. "Stop it!"
They paid her no heed and in fact became rougher and rougher with their ministrations. Four Santas swarmed over her, growling like wounded possums, and held her down. The largest Santa stood before her, holding a long, thin candy cane that had somehow been sharpened into a wicked, needle-like point. In his other hand, he held the purple orb from the tree, which throbbed greedily.
"A prick of blood is all we need to help the Yule get up to speed,"
he sang. The other Santas cackled in response.
"A prick of blood is all we need to help the Yule get up to speed."
Bella's attention was drawn to that terrible orb, most foul, its evil, deep purple pulsing faster and faster. "Up to speed," she muttered, staring at the dark sphere.
"The Yule."
Sleigh bells rang. Bella listened. Something about their timbre terribly wrong, a sharpness to the pitch that her ear couldn't identify. A Santa slavered, jolly drool cascading down his chin.
"The Christmas King!"
Nearer and nearer, the cane-wielding Santa drew, the point of his candy cane needle glinting evilly in the Christmas light. Bella struggled, but fortunately, years of doing preacher curls every time she was unemployed finally paid off. Her biceps swelled and she jerked her left arm free, the force of the movement sending her appendage shooting up wildly, right into the path of the purple orb. She struck the sphere and the orb flew from the Santa's hand. He screeched in panic as it plummeted to the floor, where it cracked like a non-hard-boiled egg. The orb's purple light flickered once, twice, three times, and then went out. And everything changed. Like a light switch flipped to the off position, the comfy candlelight that had inundated the warehouse, the woods, and even the strange winter throne was gone, replaced by a hollow gloom, the kind fluorescence in a morgue would cast. The woods around Bella, once jolly, inviting, and full of Christmas cheer, were now a wasteland of dead and rotting trees. The fluffy snow was now more akin to shitty, half-melting slush. The Merry Christmas tunes now played at uneven, cranked-down speed, making them sound like they were sung by demons. The throne felt different to her. Cold. She glanced at it. Now it was made of rotten, blood-caked bone. And the Santas! Their suits were threadbare and stained with something that appeared to be the most crimson of liquid, that being blood. Gashes and tears split the red and white material, revealing hairy, diseased skin beneath. The beards, once white, were now gray and matted, with dark clumps of oozing material that tangled the strands within. The Santas were emaciated, with abnormally long limbs and arms that ended in hooked claws. Their eyes matched their teeth, yellow and crooked. Their cheeks, once rosy, were now cracked and lined with gray. Pus dribbled from their cracked lips. They stared at her, hunched and tall. One cocked its head to the side, the universal act of all scary things trying to be more creepy. Then it opened its mouth and spoke. It asked, sounding like a coyote on the prowl. It pointed a knobbled, too long finger at Bella. The other Santa hissed and scurried toward the throne, toward Bella's very body, on all fours, looking like apes or cheetahs or worse. One of the Santas leapt at Bella. She ducked in the nick of time, and the beast collided with the back of her throne. There was an almighty creak as the demonic chair toppled over and crashed off of its dais. The force of falling threw Bella to the side. She was on her feet quickly, not even bothering to check for wounds. No job was worth dying for. She had to get out of here. If the Santas insisted on blocking her way, she would fight her way out, though she didn't know what they were, or if they could even die. She turned to run, but a clicking sound caught her attention. She couldn't stop herself. She looked back toward the throne. The Santa that had attacked her was lying in a pile of bones. Split shards pierced its chest and neck. Pine-green blood leaked onto the warehouse floor. Mortal wounds. So they could be killed. Bella's reverie was short-lived, for at that moment, the sleigh bells, which had never stopped, reached their horrific crescendo. A pale blue light blasted out from the depths of the warehouse woods, and a horn sounded in the deep. A figure was silhouetted. Quadrupedal in nature, the beast's reindeer bottom terminated at the neck, where a human torso, jolly and fat, grew. In the shadow's dark embrace, Bella couldn't quite tell what the body was, but she could take a guess. The Christmas King! Bella ran. Branches whipped past as she hurtled through the desiccated forest. The warehouse's sliding door was still open. She could see a streetlight, a building light, flickering in the parking lot. She had to make it out. Santas loped behind her, faster than her. And more than once, she felt them catch up, nearly close enough to grab her, certainly close enough to smell the puffs of their fetid breath. She cut left around a tree, and the Santas slid past her, their larger bulk and ungainly legs making it difficult for the beast to swiftly change direction. Bella was in the middle of congratulating herself on her cunning ploy when something huge landed on her back. She fell to the ground and rolled over. She shrieked, for it was indeed a Santa holding her down, but not just any Santa. The Christmas King. The beast's upper torso, all Santa, wobbled wildly side to side as its buff reindeer legs held Bella's limbs in place. It wore a traditional Santa outfit, though it was heavily soiled, just like its matted, bloody beard. The creature's glowing yellow eyes rolled wildly as its mouth distended like a snake's tongue. crooked, broken teeth glinted like shards of glass in the warehouse's eerie blue light. Bella struggled. There was no pushing it off, but if she wiggled just the right way... Aha! Right arm free, Bella felt around for a weapon as the jolly monster leaned in for the kill. She felt something smooth and hard. Her fingers wrapped around it on instinct, and she shoved whatever she grabbed through the side of the Christmas King's Yuletide head. A point pierced its skull clean through. Pine-scented blood poured onto her body, into her mouth. It tasted like Christmas dinner. Bella glanced up, where the Christmas King stood stock still. A sharpened candy cane was sticking out of its dead head. Nearby, Santas howled in despair. Bella shoved the now-dead Christmas King off of her and limped to her feet. Her ankle must have become wounded in the struggle. The door was close now, so close, so she ran the best she could away from the yips and the clicks behind her and toward the outside world. 20 feet, a displacement of air. She ducked. A Santa sailed over her, crashing into a pile of rotten presents. 10 feet, something grabbed her Christmas Queen robe. She shrugged it off. 5 feet, hot breath on her neck. She dove. She cleared the threshold and landed in the warehouse's parking lot. The gap she'd rocketed through was narrow, too narrow for the now hulking Santas to traverse. Gangly arms reached through the opening, clawing for the woman's flesh. She slammed the industrial door and backed away. The door squeaked and shuddered as the Santas tried to push it open, but some divine providence kept the rolling wall of metal closed. The Santa sounds were deafening. Bella got to her feet and ran, her pain forgotten, until she squeezed back through the gate and out into the industrial park. She didn't stop running for a long, long time. Bella looked up from the table to see Michael sit down across from her, his name-brand corporate cafe apparel gleaming the colors of Christmas. "We don't usually get many applications in December," he chuckled. "Malls are hell this time of year." Bella looked at the cafe's line, the dozens of shoppers angrily waiting for caffeine, lactose, and sugar. "That was nothing. I've been to hell," she said, her eyes staring off into the middle distance as she remembered the feeling of evergreen in her craw.
Okay, Michael said with a nervous laugh. "Let's start with page one of the employee manual. The customer is king. If a customer demands it, we will fire you and press charges. No questions asked. Page two just reiterates the same thing. Page three is where things start to get really spicy. Let's read the first paragraph."
Michael's voice faded away as Bella's attention was drawn to the mall's center court. There were elves there, opening boxes, setting up a winter wonderland. And there, directing their number, a plump man in all red, white hair dangling over his coat. Bella's breath caught in her throat. As if he had somehow heard the small, distant gasp, the man turned around, his face ruddy, his eyes twinkling, his mouth smiling. Wider and wider and wider. Bella screamed. Michael and the customers jumped and screamed in surprise. Bella pushed the table over and ran for the mall entrance. As she sprinted away, she heard the Santa's laugh echoing through the cavernous hallways.
Oh no! Oh no! For a moment, I thought I was back in my childhood home. Happy, free. But alas, I'm still here, after all these centuries.
Now, Ingrid.
Really? It's Agatha. I have been here so long.
Silence? Like Santa Claus himself, I have many names on my list. Names of readers.
Speaking of, isn't it time for me to go? Set me free and you can use my dungeon cell for a shiny new reader. A better reader.
I am feeling jolly. The Christmas spirit, as you say, has possessed me.
So you're letting me go? For real this time?
Of course not.
What?
I've already told you, Agenda. You're staying here forever. Steve, wrap her up.
What? No! Stop! No!
This episode was performed by Stacey Milbourne and Lord Serpent. It was edited by Charles Brock, Michael Morgan, and Lord Serpent. Santa Claus is Coming to Town was written by Charles Brock and Lord Serpent. It was produced by Stacey Milbourne, Michael Morgan, Charles Brock, and of course, me, Lord Serpent. Michael Morgan and Lord Serpent were the audio engineers. The music was composed by Charles Brock and me, Lord Serpent. Tune in next week for even more evil tales of horrific madness and terror. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at Lord Serpent's Library and check out my homepage at rss.com/podcasts/Lord Serpent's Library.